Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Wrestle Talking to D with Martez, Dominic, Kayvon, and Josh right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash. I want to thank God for giving us another opportunity to give us a chance to talk wrestling. And yes, we are bringing this show by way of Charlotte Flair's theme song. We got a lot of Charlotte to talk about tonight. I'm so ready to talk to the guys about Charlotte and that little fiasco situation that happened on Friday night. But I want to talk real quick about knowing who you are. Okay, I want to talk about knowing who you are. In life, you got to know who you are. You got to be confident in yourself. You got to know what you bring to the table. And you got to be okay with it. Know who you are. And the reason I'm saying that is because Impact Wrestling, they know who they are. They're not WWE, they're not New Japan, they're not AEW, they're Impact Wrestling. A few years ago, I used to crack jokes about Impact Wrestling. I used to talk trash about Impact Wrestling. To be honest with you, I didn't think Impact Wrestling will be here to this day. But Impact Wrestling, they know what they can do, they know what they can't do. They stay within their own limits, they stay within their own circle, because they know who they are. And I want to take these few moments to use Dominic's word, shout out. I want to shout out Impact Wrestling because Impact Wrestling is that person that believes in himself in spite of what everybody else thinks. And Impact won't stay down. So, yeah, I want to take this moment to shout out Impact Wrestling. Let us bring in a crew. I do apologize that we didn't do the show last week, and that's my fault. What's up, Dominic?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, man. Nothing much. Nothing much. I want to make up for last week. I know I kind of dropped the ball on last week's show, so I'm ready to get into everything today, and I'm excited.
I hear that, man. It's all good, man. You ain't got to apologize. Yeah, man. It's Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch topic, man.
Definitely. We got to jump off. We got to jump on that right off the bat. Let us bring in Brother Josh. He had some exclusive news for us last week. I don't know if he still wants to say it, but I want to bring Brother Josh in. What up, Brother Josh? Welcome back to the show, brother.
What's happening, y'all? What's happening, y'all? How y'all feeling today?
I feel good.
I do have some exclusive news, but it's not about Braun Strowman. I'll bring it up a little bit later. But let's dive into the debacle that is Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair.
All right. Well, gentlemen, yeah, without further ado, let's jump right into it. I really don't have no question. Really, but I'm gonna ask you guys, what did you all? I guess I do have a question. What did you all make of that situation with Becky and Charlotte? And it doesn't matter who wants to jump in first because I'm interested to hear what both of you guys got to say about that.
Go ahead, Dom.
What we talking about? I had to step away for a hot second.
We want to dive into the Charlotte Flair situation. I want to get you guys' opinion on the whole Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, and the rest of that chatter that's going on behind the scenes in WWE, whether it's true or not. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, Josh, I'll go last. I'll let you do the honors.
All right. Well, I mean, you can look at it a couple different ways. We are right around Survivor Series time, and so it's champion versus champion. some believe that it may have been a work just to set up the feud to be a little bit more spicier for Survivor Series, or it could have been true to the fact that Charlotte didn't want to be one-upped or be shown as weak. But I ultimately think it is a little bit of both, and I also think it is a little bit of Charlotte trying to possibly maybe get out of her contract because she's seen that WWE is putting out the same product every single week, and she's seen maybe brighter futures on the horizon with other companies. That's my opinion.
Dom? Dominic, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Give me a minute. My bad.
All right. Well, you know what? I want to piggyback on what you had to say, Josh. It could be a work, you know, but there's so much information that's coming out, you know, in regards to other female wrestlers backstage and really are not in a celebratory mood about Charlotte Flair anymore. A lot of these female wrestlers don't want to work with her anymore. You know, so many reports are coming out every day. I've even read this morning that Sonya Deville was pissed off with Charlotte Flair and gave her some of her 2 cents. We don't know. You know, we don't know what really went down. We don't know what's true, what's not true. But I will say this, you know, for me, Charlotte Flair, you know, I love Charlotte Flair. And me and Dominic was talking this morning about it. You know, he feels a certain way about her, but I love Charlotte Flair. I think she's best for business. You know, it would be silly to release her. You know, she's one of the greatest female talents of all time. And I hope they wouldn't even think about releasing her just because she want to go. So that's my little 2 cents on it. I don't know if Dominic is ready to chime in. Are you ready, Dominic?
Ready. I am ready for my Stephen A. rant.
Go for it.
What you see on TV with Charlotte Flair, that is 24/7 Charlotte Flair.
Mm.
I mean, that's not scripted. It's not acting. It's not adding a little pedazzle. What we see, the character of Charlotte Flair on WWE TV is hearing about backstage, the diva, the entitlement, the nepotism, the whole, what's the word I'm looking for? Narcissistic. It's Charlotte. Everybody is tired of it. You said, Sonya Deville, Becky Lynch, felt like she, you know, had to, you know, stand up and give what we say her 2 cents. Without a shadow of a doubt, though, Charlotte is one of the hottest. Probably, when you say top five female wrestlers, you got to say Charlotte Flair. You know, that's not credit. That's give credit what's credit is due. But on the other hand, it's just, I feel like every time when it's a title opportunity, when Charlotte's not having the belt, when she's not even in a pit, can seem like she in a storyline with another wrestler, they somehow pencil her in. You know, Charlotte got to learn how to share the ring and share the crown and know when to just always can't be, it's got to be about me. I'm the queen. I'm Ric Flair's daughter. Excuse me. You know, she got to at times get off that high horse. It's too much of a high horse and predatory.
But
Charlotte is on that. At times she can be knocked down.
But
go ahead.
But who fault is that? Is that Charlotte's fault? Is that Ric Flair's fault? Is that WWE's fault? Because WWE is the one that's signing off. I know we talked about this earlier, but like really, like who fault is that? You know, for putting her on that pedestal because they.
We can say fault, but I mean, inspiration because as far as the women, to keep the women relevant, yeah, you need a narcissistic, egomaniac, you know, driven, you know, female type of gimmick wrestler, but, you know, for a story-wise, but golly, but if you really like that, you know, off camera and always want stuff to go your way. People supposed to always bow to the beat. I mean, yeah, you got wrestlers, you know, like Brock Lesnar that was like that for as the man. But I mean, he doesn't act such in a divo whiny. You know, yeah, he had. We seen him throw fits and had, you know, his meltdowns. But with Charlotte Flair, it's like, you know, she got to have the belt. At times, she feel like everything has to evolve around her. I understand she's the face, the female face, but she got to, I'm lost for words right now, but when you said who fought in it, I mean, I wouldn't say it's really no one's fault, but it's like, now it falls in the hands of WWE and management and stuff. Like what the problem is with other stuff, like far as they're, you know, on the man side, you can't put all your eggs in one basket and keep forcing a superstar on us or keep feeling like that's your go-to.
Right.
That's your bread and butter. That's your state. You know, this is our money maker.
This
is who we feel like is supposed to be your champion.
Okay, and Josh, I know you probably want to jump in the moment. Feel free to jump in when you want to. But what if, I mean, and I'm not. You know, we talked on the phone earlier, but I'm not trying to be go against everything you said. But what do you make of those that may say they Stone Cold? They pushed them under our throat. You know. You can even say Triple H. They forced him. They pushed him hard. Who else? John Cena. I know people didn't like John Cena, so that's probably not a good.
I could give you John Cena, but it seemed like during that Attitude Era.
Yeah.
You know, everybody at a moment had their reign or had their dominance. Like they spread the wealth. It's a
gotcha.
Stone Cold. It's The Rock. If it wasn't The Rock, it was Triple H. If it wasn't Triple H, it was Undertaker. You know, then for the Undertaker, Mankind had his moment. Then later on, you had people like Chris Jericho. And you had, you know, Kane got a piece. You know, Kurt Angle eventually came. You know, then, you know, the WCW, ECW. Then, you know, they were trying to figure out, you know, as a whole, you know, how to get these guys put over. You know, it's like, which, you know, which, I mean, with, okay, ever since they've not kicked, you know, just now it's the women's division. Besides Charlotte, it's like it's only been, what, six different females to hold that title, the WWE Women's Champion, either Raw or SmackDown. Six or seven. I mean, I know it's a growing, you know, that division is still improving and there's still more to come. But it's like every time I look around, don't get me wrong, she's hella bad. She's amazing, but at times I just feel like whenever she just doesn't, when she starts melting down or just have those moments. You know, if this person stuff, whatever, you know, when she had to, you know, go off and get surgery for here, or she wanted to do her second, you know, wanted to pursue acting, but whenever it's like she goes away, it's like they rush her back. Why? Then when she's like, I'm back, they gotta put her in whatever field it is. And it's like, you know, they have to, you know, at times they have to tell her, Charlotte, you know, Charlotte, like, here, you know, I know you are the it factor, you are the queen, Flair, but at times, like, here, we need you to help put over this person, or here, can you think you can really form a stable or a tag team unit with this person to help, you know, we feel like, you know, to keep you relevant and make you somewhat as well relevant and come up, keep a gold around your race and may not be the top one. Here, just fall back and let's see where this going. They're not doing that.
Well, to touch up on what you asked earlier on whose fault is it, it's all of their fault. See, Ric Flair grew up in the wrestling, Ric Flair was in the wrestling industry for so long and styling and profiling and all this other stuff. So the Flair name, the Flair brand took on a life of itself. So, of course, when Charlotte Flair decided to join into the wrestling world, she has to live up to that moniker. Now, you can say it's no one's fault, but if you are a Flair, if you're a Hogan, if you're a Stone Cold, if you are any one of these big top names throughout the years, you have to live up to that name. Because if you don't, then you're letting that legacy die. And it's the WWE's fault because they don't have control of how their superstars are. Even though they have to sign these contracts and be certain ways and act certain ways, there are a key group of superstars, men and women, who literally don't have to listen to anything that the WWE has to say, and they can do what they want to do and say what they want to say. Take Brock Lesnar, for instance. Brock Lesnar comes in, does what he does, he loses that crown jewel, comes back in, and in the storyline, suspended because of all the, in reality, Brock Lesnar was pinned. It was, like, written to win the championship at Crown Jewel so they could have a future match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns again at WrestleMania as Roman Reigns chasing the title. But they wanted to keep the title on Reigns so they could do the Big E versus Reigns. But Charlotte Flair has an ego the size of Texas. Let's just make that simple and honest right now. The fact of the matter is if Charlotte wants to walk around and say, I'm the queen, I can do this, I can do that, and no one's putting her in her place, then that's how she's going to be. That's her mentality. But it is all of their fault. Flair's fault for the way he did his character in the 80s and 90s. Her fault because she wants to live up to the moniker. WWE's fault because they're letting her. So it's all three of their faults. That's just my opinion.
I mean, both of you guys bring up great points, and I believe there's a level of truth to everything y'all saying. You know, I've had a chance to watch a few of her interviews outside of WWE, and she comes off as a completely awesome young lady. You know, and it was the things that she did outside of WWE that kind of made me want to root for her because she seems so cool, you know, and I felt like for a while that she gets, like, undeserved heat. But this is a different situation in which what happened Friday night, you know, so I can't give her a pass on that if everything that's being said is true. And like I said, both of you all bring up good points, but, you know, I'm still going to hang in there with my girl Charlotte because I'm a fanboy for Charlotte Flair. Let's move things right along. WWE crowned a King of the Ring and a Queen of the Ring Friday at the Crown Jewel. What was you guys' biggest takeaway with Zelina Vega winning and Xavier Woods winning? We'll start with you, Josh.
All right. So I 100% agree with Zelina Vega being the Queen of the Ring in that match. Did she deserve to be there? That's not for me to say. But in my opinion, what do they do with her now? Because you got both women, Charlotte and Becky, as champions. Can she beat any one of them? Probably not. So now that she's the Queen of the Ring, what is her role going to be? But I think it's going to be interesting because since this is the first Queen of the Ring, are they going to follow suit like they did with the King of the Ring? Because if you really look at it, go back through all the King of the Ring tournaments, and all the winners of the Kings of the Rings have eventually come on to be some kind of champion, if not the world champion. I don't think there's been one King of the Ring that hasn't been some kind of champion in the WWE. So my thing is, do you have her tag team with somebody and go for the women's tag titles? That would be an interesting thing, but who do you have her tag with? Or do you put her in a title match with Becky Lynch? I mean, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair right now are the hottest thing in the women's division because of what happened on Friday. I don't see neither one of them losing their titles anytime soon. I will say, there are some good things coming for Zelina Vega, I believe. Now, the King of the Ring, so they made Kofi Kingston champion, they made Big E champion. Xavier Woods being King of the Ring is only deserving. He, hands down, is probably the best person to be King of the Ring right now because now you have all three of these members of this group that was so popular. They all have their own little niche at what they've done. Question is, what does Xavier Woods do from here? Now that he's King of the Ring, they're not going to split up the New Day because they're too hot right now. So what does he do? I see him feuding with Damian Priest for that title and them turning Damian Priest heel for a simple fact because then Xavier Woods can get his first singles championship in the WWE. And I think that's the way they should go. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what they do with them. Just my opinion.
I like both of them. I'm not going to... They're both fit. I guess you guys with the Zelina Vega scenario. Maybe, you know, they're going to pretty much just use her more if they don't. I really don't see her probably getting a title shot right now, but they pretty much going to use that more as a gimmick. She, with Zelina Vega, like, you know, Queen Vega, she's going to kind of be somewhat, you know, use it to our advantage just to for to get more over and fans with Xavier. I definitely see him probably starting to get more opportunities and starting with why is I forgetting names, guys? Damian Priest. Zelina, I truly see her just more as a familiar reference comparison to more of a Baron Corbin as when he won the King of the Ring.
Okay.
She may get a title shot. She may down the line, you know, she's probably going to side feud be more of a comedy gimmick, but then, you know, somehow she's going to kind of, you know, luck up and win a few matches to kind of force her way as, you know, using the King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring to get a title shot.
I got a question for you guys.
And Josh, I think I got about 5 people who have won King of the Ring who have not won a world title.
No, but they've become some kind of champion in the WWE after they've won the King of the Ring. Baron Corbin literally won the Intercontinental right before he became King of the Ring. So at some point, every single person who's won King of the Ring has been some kind of champion in the WWE. There's not one that has not, except for Jerry Lawler, but let's face it, he's the king, so you can never really put him in the same category as King of the Ring.
Well, Ken Shamrock.
He was Intercontinental
Ken Shamrock.
Champion.
Huh?
He was the Intercontinental Champion.
Okay, yep. What about Billy Gunn?
Tag team and Intercontinental and Hardcore Champion.
Santana?
Intercontinental and Tag Team Champion.
When he won, after he won the King of the Ring?
Tito Santana never won King of the Ring.
I thought he did.
No. He was in the inaugural King of the Ring, but he lost.
Yeah, oh, yep, that's correct. Okay. Yep, Wikipedia, shame on you. Yep, I remember now.
Oh, all right. We can move right along with a few of the topics that I got left on board for us. This might not be a fun topic to talk about, but WWE, they released their 2022 pay-per-view schedule for the year. One of the few things that jumped out to me is that after the Royal Rumble, they don't have that middle pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So it looks like they're going to do the Royal Rumble and then take a like 8 weeks off until April the 2nd when they bring WrestleMania. I did also notice they have a few Saturday pay-per-views, which is so uncommon for them. I know they did one this year, which was SummerSlam, I think. It's just weird to see them do Saturday pay-per-views. Have you all had a chance to look at the schedule? Is there anything to make you happy or unhappy about it, or is it just like so-so to you all? Have you guys had time to think about how you felt about the schedule coming out?
I'll let Don go
personally,
first.
I haven't seen it yet.
I think it's a good thing for at least for the Royal Rumble to be split almost 2 months apart from WrestleMania, because then you can properly build stories for everything after the Royal Rumble. That's what I think. I think that's the thing. Some of the Saturday pay-per-views, I think they're solely doing that just to compete with another company, which we all know is AEW, which they can do, but now they're looking a little bit more desperate by doing that. Now,
right.
I'm going to – 2 weeks ago, it was the AEW bashing. Everyone, you know, myself included. But after talking to, and I'm going to give my boy Frankie a shout-out here. He's listening. I know he is. My boy Frankie brought it to my attention. We are all wrestling fans. So we should love every product that there is of wrestling if we are true wrestling fans. Now, we can like one federation better than the other, but if they're putting on truly good matches, we can't blame what society has put into our heads of wrestling promotions. Now, I love WWE. I'm always going to love WWE. That WWE through my, you know, through and through. That's number one. But I have to say, as a wrestling fan, if you're putting on a good product and I'm watching and you're keeping me intrigued, then I'm 100% happy. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, I agree with Frankie as well. I just think it's more the antics that come out of AEW than anything that bothers me. You know, the wrestling is good, minus the constant jumping outside of the ring. Like, I can go without the jumping outside of the ring every 5 seconds, if you get what I'm saying, like leaping outside of the ring. I can go away with that, but the antics from Tony Khan and sometimes Chris Jericho, even what Andrade said this weekend, like that, those are the things that bother me about that promotion, because I don't have issue with Impact or New Japan or Ring of Honor. I don't have issue with none of them, but AEW, they just annoy me because of those antics, and they can be hypocritical sometimes. So I agree with you and Frankie. We all should just love wrestling because it's wrestling, but it just be the antics that bother me for these for AEW.
Yeah. But with next year's pay-per-view schedule and just event schedule for the WWE, I will say the build to WrestleMania should always be able to take longer than just 2 to 3 weeks. And if you have that pay-per-view in the middle of Royal Rumble and WrestleMania, then it kind of takes away from a better storyline for WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know, if you rush, if you're going to rush, let's just throw some out there. Say you rush Zelina Vega versus Sasha Banks. Okay. Why would you have that feud? I'm just, you know, spitballing. But if you build it from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, then that would be a good way of doing it. Because who's to say that Jeff Hardy doesn't eliminate Baron Corbin, and then all of a sudden they have a feud leading all the way up to WrestleMania, and they build it correctly, I would be intrigued with that match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. I remember when WrestleMania, the build-up used to mean a lot more when they didn't have that pay-per-view in the middle, where it went like 6 to 8 weeks before WrestleMania. So once again, I'm in agreement with you on that. you guys have anything you want to jump into tonight that you want to talk about? I have a few other things, but I definitely want to yield and give you guys a chance to bring up a topic that you might want to talk about.
Nah, I don't have anything.
You guys ready for the exclusive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the exclusive is everyone knows the Royal Rumble is right around the corner, and they always have some surprises in store. One of the surprises going into this year's Royal Rumble is that one of the best women's wrestlers in WWE history, in my opinion, of the modern era, has been cleared to return. And the rumor is that Paige will be a surprise entrance, and I am very excited about that.
Wow. Wow, that's a major exclusive. Wow. Wow, that's all I can say is wow. Wow.
You know, because a lot of people can say Charlotte Flair started the revolution, Becky Lynch did, but let's face it, the women's revolution really didn't start until Paige went against the grain and stood up to the Bella Twins. So that right there makes me excited, because she has been a missing ingredient in the WWE for so long.
Yeah.
But rumor has it she's in tip-top condition and ready to return. So,
yeah, I think that'd be
good.
No, I think that'd be great. That'd be a nice shot in the arm for the women's division, not just the women's division, for WWE to have Paige back, because, like you say, she's been gone for so long. You know, even when she came back with Absolution, she wrestled for about a month or something, and then I think she had that injury again. So it's been quite some time since she's been in the ring. So if this is in fact true, I'm loving this idea of her coming back, and more power to her.
All right. Can we touch up on the fact that there's trouble brewing in the house of Vega and Malakai?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Because, see, rumor has it, Malakai Black has literally told Zelina Vega not to resign with WWE because he was trying to get out. And it has put a strain on their relationship now that he's in AEW and she's in WWE. They see each other maybe 3 to 4 times out the month, and it's never at their home. It's always on the road somewhere. So time away from each other does not indeed make the heart fonder. It makes the heart wander, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they make a good couple? Yes, they make a good couple. But we also got to look at it like this. I'm WWE. My wife goes to AEW. I see her 3 to 4 times out the month. I'm not going to be happy. So that's just sometimes the cookie crumbles the way it does, and this cookie has crumbled way out of line.
You know, I never want to see trouble in paradise when it comes to marriages. So I hope they can come to some kind of understanding, but it doesn't sound good based on what you're saying. You know, only seeing each other 3-4 times a month and not even at home. Like, yeah, you got too much time to be jumping in the bed or hooking up with somebody else because you're lonely. I'm just going to say that. You know, it's just tough, but it seems like the wrestling business is not rewarding at all. You know, it's fun for us to watch it on TV, but it's not rewarding because you're always on the road, you know, and especially these two that's in the same business and working for two different promotions, it got to be tough, but maybe they can figure out something, but I hope things they can come to some agreement.
All right. Speaking of Malakai Black, did y'all see AEW on Saturday?
No, I missed it.
Yeah, I caught the highlight.
So, yeah. So, Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes, you have some of the best talent in both of them. But yet, the way the story ended on Saturday ended wrong. That was Cody Rhodes' way of not putting over talent. Because, see, if you looked at it, at the beginning of this feud, Cody Rhodes was being cheered, Malakai Black was being booed.
Right.
At the end of this, Malakai Black is being cheered, Cody Rhodes is being booed. So somewhere along the lines had to have been blurred because Cody Rhodes seemed to be putting over Malakai Black, which, in my opinion, was the best thing that Cody Rhodes could have done. But instead, he took away the push that could have been because his selfishness got in the way, and he didn't put over the talent. And in that aspect, Cody Rhodes, in my opinion, has failed in being the kind of person that is there for the talent, just my opinion.
Yeah, it seems like I'm agreeing with you all throughout this whole show. I didn't like that, too, because it seems like it's a constant thing with Cody Rhodes. I don't know if that's him making the decisions or Tony Khan, but it seems like he'll let you get a win over him, but at the end of the day, he's going to be the one that will prevail in the feud in the long run. And him not putting over Black, I think it was the wrong decision, you know. And I don't like using the word bury because I feel like we use the word bury too much, but like I've seen him bury Lance Archer. I've seen him bury even my man who died, Brody Lee, when he won that TNT championship back from him. And now with Black. You know, I just don't think that was a good move. I don't like it. And it kind of make Black look weak at this point.
Yeah.
Because he had all the momentum in the world, you know. And one thing I don't like about Black, they making him more human. Like, I wanted him to be a little bit more supernatural. So I don't like the fact that he's looking a little bit too humanish for me. So there's a lot of things that rub me the wrong way about Black and AEW.
Yeah. So one other thing is, let's talk about inspiration. If this is not, and I'm sorry, I like Impact, but sometimes I can see similarities in things that happen in one federation and into the next. Inspiration comes, and they literally do what they did in WWE. They say every single word the same, other than, instead of saying the Iconics, they say their inspiration. But Bound for Glory to me seemed like, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like the Impact took a little bit of WWE's King of the Ring or Money in the Bank here and there. Because, I mean, Josh Alexander won the championship from Christian. All of a sudden, Moose cashes in. How many times have we seen a Money in the Bank cash in on the same day? At least 4 or 5 times.
Right. Right.
I get Impact being its own company, and I agree with that. And they are the little engine that could, that just, they're that cat, it just won't stay away. It keeps coming back, which is great because it gives us more content. But they have to keep and stick to their own identity, because if they start doing what other federations are doing, then you're going to lose your key demographic, because everyone who likes WWE is going to be like, we tuned in to Impact Bound for Glory to see them debut, but pretty much they just showed us what WWE showed us, so we could go watch WWE on Peacock or the WWE Network and see them all day long. So I think that was a serious, serious fail on Impact's part. And Mickie James winning the Impact Championship, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm kind of over people from one federation winning another federation's championship, because then that kind of devalues that federation's championship, because now it's owned by someone who's in a different federation, regardless if you got working communications and working programs and stuff like that. But it's kind of like you devalue one federation by letting someone in a completely different federation win the championship. And it also makes the individual in that was the champion looked so much weaker, because they couldn't even defend their championship against an invading company, which this is not WCW versus WWE. Just my opinion.
Yeah. Dominic, you want to jump in on this?
I think I'm pretty much good on this topic. I think y'all guys said it up.
Yeah, you bring up some good points. Like, Moose cashing in, whatever he cashed in, I don't even know what he cashed in, but that was so WWE-like. So I'm going to have to agree with you on that. But other than that, I was okay with the pay-per-view. I mean, I didn't mind what they did with Inspiration, you know. I didn't mind everything else they did, but, yeah, that cash-in, it was too obvious that they took a page out of WWE's Money in the Bank.
I will say, though.
But you know what? Hold on. Before you jump to, I'll go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm not a fan of Mickie James anymore, because, like, Mickie James and a few others, they get on my nerves, man. You know, when they leave WWE, whether they got released or they quit, you know, they want you to feel bad about them. They want, like, Mickie James tried to make it seem like WWE doesn't support women's wrestling. That's my biggest problem with her. So I really can't even be in a celebratory mode with her winning the Impact Championship, because of her antics outside of the wrestling ring, you know. So I just wanted to drop that in there real quick before you go proceed.
I agree with that. Now, I do 100% stand behind Impact and them being right now, I won't say the innovators, but right now the leading company in not being afraid to have the men and women get it on in the ring. I mean, Jordynne Grace winning that championship, hands down, probably the best way to go, because you can literally set up any feud with anybody's in impact with her, and they're guaranteed to put on a good product.
Yeah. And Josh, I think that kind of revitalized her run into Impact, because she had got a little forgotten for me. I think over the last few months, she has been revitalized, so to speak, and giving her that championship, I think that further put a stamp on her revitalization. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Jordynne.
I have to totally agree with you too, Martez.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like it was Diana Peraza's show for been a good while.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Now, here's something that WWE is getting right. So Hit Row is a popular group. Everyone loves them in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
So moving them up to SmackDown, good idea. But they went from being heels in NXT, but now they're going to be faces on SmackDown. Everyone knows when you become a face, you're going to lose more matches than you are if you were a heel. Now, so if they have a hit in that group. So if they can actually program them properly and display them properly and let them do what it is they're supposed to do, you might have the next NWO on your hands. You never know.
Hey, Josh?
Yeah.
Hit Roll in the format structure. Now, hear me out, y'all. It's the next New Day. I wouldn't go far as NWO. Now, for as putting, you know, really what I said, New Day is how the way, you know, you got different African-American individual male schools kind of at one point, you know, were totally, you know, tears at a point in their career that was, you know, had found, you know, came together that found stuff that was they had in common and, you know, what they liked to, you know, make a gimmick. And that's sort of similar with they all kind of came together and, you know, formed what was popular and what was eye-catching. And to, you know, for us to help them get over with the crowd. I don't see nobody else joining that group like an NWO or Bullet Club. I think right now they're in there. This is my opinion as well, not to jump rails, but stay on track. One, I feel like they should have called up more NXT. It was definitely a lot of more NXT call-ups.
Yep.
They should have did light as well. They got off the entire small because that's one group off a rip, you know, I would like to, they can really easily, I see them feuding with, seeing their feud.
Yep.
Right now, I just really see them. And then, two, they're more, like I said, they're more of a gimmick right now. I really, really wanted them, as what we was hearing, wanted them to be more on Raw. Because they're, you know, they're right now, yeah, they're going to get a lot of squash matches, and they're more, you know, just talking and you know, just doing, you know, props and gimmicks. And SmackDown, where they kind of dropped the ball this year, they have quite a few talents that's like that, that's not really, you know, that's not really going to go nowhere. And, yeah, I really don't see who they can feud with right now. And with and how their structure and format to entertain us, they can't really be on SmackDown. I mean, it's going to be a. I mean, when we it's in a way it's like, you know, yeah, they're going to be a main attraction, but then it's going to be we want more, we want more.
Yep. So. Dominic, I completely agree with you on that, man. Like, I was excited for their debut Friday night, but while watching their debut, I was kind of thinking the same thing. Can they make it? Can they survive? Number one, the crowd wasn't even really engaging in their act like they did at NXT. That was disappointing.
I think they did.
But
Martez, now, wait a minute. Martez, time out. I'm sorry. No disrespect. It's all love and passion. I think they were. They knew who they were. What I saw, it seemed like they was, you know, I heard if by my point of view, all just aside, no harm, it seemed like, you know, they were kind of engaging, you know, saying the head roll.
Maybe I missed it. I got to go back and watch it. But I felt like they wasn't engaged enough.
I saw fans, you know, like they was entertained. They was hyped. Like I saw fans get up their feet and, you know, was like, uh-oh.
I don't know what
and
she was watching.
I
don't know what I was watching. I don't know what you was watching because I just thought they was just too flat. But I'm going to go back and look at it because I could be wrong myself. So I'm definitely.
I mean, I saw a couple, but I ain't going to say it got a big reaction like, oh. You know, because you know, a lot of as what we talk about, we debate about constantly on this show. Yeah. I know a lot of people who are WWE fans, like more of the old-fashioned fans, doesn't watch NXT. So, you know,
okay.
And for the ones who do go to the, who keep up with the main roster, when they hear NXT, they like, oh, my God. somebody, you know. We're not gonna say no names, but it's neither not three of us, but yeah, but I mean maybe yeah, I ain't gonna say it had the biggest pop, but okay.
It kind of sounds to me that they were piping in the hit roll chant from the crowd, because I'm not gonna lie, I didn't see a lot of fans like up and about doing it and stuff. I mean there was some, but. Yeah, it just sounded to me like it was piped in. I'm sorry.
And I agree. Even the even Hit Row, it's like they were pulling straws. You know, I think they expected a bigger what word I'm looking for? A bigger welcome.
Ovation.
Than what they got. Yeah, ovation than what they got. It was kind of flat. But another thing that's scary to me is that it's funny. And I saw this happening in NXT, but Swerve Scott is going to be going from being the leader to maybe the fourth man, you know? Because I don't see him translating as the leader, and they've already made that transition. Because I think I read that they're going to make him and Ashante Adonis. I think they're saying a tag team, and Vince is thinking about making Top Dollar the main person. And be fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Top Dollar, you know, with him, I guess, once again, Vince liking big guys, the big attraction and how the way he can talk. And, you know, he's been noticeable because, you know, he's been on the WWE A&E show representing. So that's where a lot of people, if you don't know, Top Dollar, AJ Francis, a.k.a. You may have recognized him from that. I find, and the reason why I use the reference of New Day's once again, bringing that back up, I think they're going to try to do the free bird style. You know, like, you know, try to, and slash Shield, like, you know, maybe one week, Top Dollar and Adonis may tag team next week, maybe. Adonis and Swerve may, you know, team up next week, and Irv and Adonis may team up, then Top Dollars may have a single competition, then once get comfortable, you know, B5 may, you know, sooner or later, you know, start trying to get her feet wet at female competition.
Right.
And go ahead.
Right now, Adrian the Adonis is not cleared to wrestle because he's injured. So until he's cleared, it's only going to be Swerve and Top Dollar. And they're going to have Top Dollar being the better person because people are going to – this is going to be very noticeable in the near future. He is more going to be recognized by the people because people are going to see more in him. Because, like you said, Vince McMahon likes the big guy, so they're going to put him out front. For now, Adrian the Adonis is not cleared, so until he gets cleared, it's just going to be the two of them. And, I mean, that's good, but on the same hand, that championship swerves, you know, like, what's going to happen with them when all three of them are cleared? I would love to see the Freebird thing come into play, but that's to be seen, because if Vince don't like one of them, he will bury the one. If Vince don't like two of them, he will bury the two of them. And let's be honest, I can already foresee before the end of next summer, Top Dollar is going to be by himself because Vince McMahon is going to break that group up. Kind of like how he almost broke up AJ Styles and almost threw up the draft. They were going to break them up, but at the last minute, they changed their mind and they didn't break them up. See,
I was calling for that.
Yeah.
I was personally calling for that because I don't care for them together.
It never looked right to me either. You know,
I really don't.
If they smart.
And like. Oh, go ahead, Marchez. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry, Dom. You had to jump before me. I'll say my little thing after you get finished. So go ahead.
No, real quick. Yeah, I mean, and I agree with you, Josh. You know, like that's I think the plan I really see them doing is more Freebird and entertaining, like New Day first came together, but then and then the other hand with B5, like I think she. And now being the con part, she has been rushed up a little bit too fast. Like I said, they don't rush her into female singles competition because that match when she had with Alexa Lopez, it was you know, as far as her, it was really like she really needs improvement.
Yeah.
She got to keep on. Like she will be a good attraction. You know, hopefully she do more kind of a valet, you know, type of being another mouthpiece. And then the reason with Top Dollar, yeah, he's getting that look. I mean, that notification, because I think he really did steal the promo. When he got on the mic this past Friday and then previous in NXT, like whenever, you know, it seemed like more like, you know, Isaiah Swerve, for him to be the leader, he's more kind of mellow and laid back. You know, really mellow, like, anyway, in the reference of what they're trying to duplicate, Tupac was in the song "Hit 'Em Up," and the line he rapped, "Y'all not even on my level. I'm gonna let my crew handle you." So that's why you got to think about, and I'm getting it now. Why it seems like Swerve is not the leader.
Good point. That's a great point.
Dropping jewels, y'all.
Dropping jewels.
You guys want to know who B-Fab kind of reminds me of? Call me crazy, but is she not this generation's version of how China broke in.
No.
If you really look at it,
yeah.
When China came in, she came in as a bodyguard, a manager. She didn't earn her dues until after she finally learned the trade. And that's how BFAB is. But the BFAB. But the thing is BFAB, in my opinion, just breaking into the scene with this group is the best way for her to get into the whole learning the craft. Because, see, she can wrestle, but she can't wrestle on the level of Raquel Gonzalez or anything like that.
Yeah.
So she kind of reminds me of this generation China.
I wouldn't say that's a bad comparison. I see the similar, a female muscle, but I wouldn't nail it in a coffin as my comparison to China. I'm
Josh, you really stretching it by doing that, man, by saying that. I got to give you some credit because I don't see the similarities at all. But I just,
hey, just my opinion.
And that's the beautiful thing about this show. We all got our own opinions. I know I say some, not that you said something wild, but I know I say some crazy stuff sometimes. I just want to pray for them because I hope they don't get scrapped. But they are entertaining, but that can get watered down really fast if they don't know what to do with them. But y'all brought up AJ Styles and Omos a few minutes ago, and I want WWE, I don't know if this already crossed you guys' radar, but I would like to see an AJ Styles and Finn Balor tag team. I think that'd be a great move for not just Raw, but the whole company. To put them two together, it just makes sense at this point.
Well, that's what I've been asking for. That's why I said hopefully they would have, you know, by now somewhat shown some in the storyline that him or Omos is like, I don't know, you could still keep Omos. Just have, you know, somehow they come cross path and to the point that, I mean, yeah, you may most definitely have to break Omos up. But, yeah, that's what I've been asking for. Hopefully they would have split them up in the draft so we can get the AJ and Balor, you know, tag team.
Right,
and
right.
I definitely would love to see them go against RK-Bro and then as well, like I said, to compete with that other company as you see certain members of their former fractions together. You know, to boost some eyebrows and some ratings.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That would be a good tag team. But I'm going to give you another comparison here. Is AJ Styles and Omos not this generation's Shawn Michaels and Diesel? The comparison is not 100%, but it is. You got the small guy and the big guy, and the big guy is there to intimidate all the other guys to help the small guy, which, let's face it, AJ Styles does not need anyone's help to make him look good.
I see it, but I'll give you another one. Is y'all ready?
What's that?
X-Pac and Kane.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, when X-Pac and Kane were a tag team and you heard the Kane's music, then all of a sudden break it down, I was like, you know what? I'm sold 100%. I don't care if they last a week, a month, a year. I'm happy.
Yes, Dominic, you're going all the way back. I forgot about them too, man. I think the closest
Hey, that's what we do. We that's what we do. We quiz each other. You see, we've been throwing, you know, earlier with the King of the Ring, I thought I had Josh in his track, and I misunderstood what he was saying. But you know, he was ready on point, and with my defense, and so
he was. You know, you're right, Dominic. We got a few minutes to go in this show. It seemed like we just now picking up. It's been a great show thus far, but I think a tag team that was the closest to Diesel and Shawn Michaels, and y'all might think I'm crazy for saying this, is it was when Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre was a tag team. I thought they were the closest as far as looks. You know, and even though McIntyre is not as big as Diesel, but it just, that tag team made sense at that time. You know, I don't know how you all will assess that.
I see the comparison.
I think you went off left field with that one, buddy.
No, I see it. But let's go back, way back. The best little man, big man tag team there was, even though the big man barely could move, was Haku and Andre the Giant.
Ooh.
That was the best little man, big man tag team in professional wrestling, in my opinion, because there wasn't nobody in their heyday who could hang with them. Just for the simple fact that, okay, anybody including Hogan runs into Andre the Giant, what happens? You barely move him and you fall literally out of the ring. That's to me, but that's just a throwback. So
that's a good throwback. But you bring up a good topic for a future show. But I feel like there's no good big man, little man tag team in today's wrestling. At least in WWE, I can't find it. I could be wrong, but I don't know who's out there that's a good big man, little man tag team. I'm pretty sure it is, but I don't know.
We had one 5 years ago, Big Cass and Enzo Amore.
That's right, Dominic. Oh, my God.
You know, but
doing?
let's bada boom, the women down the room.
How you doing?
But let's face it, with Enzo and Cass, the poison was there from the get go because Enzo was ahead of his time. The way he was on the mic and everything like that, WWE was not ready for that.
Which is sad, man. It's sad that they wasn't ready for it.
Oh, yeah. I want to change topic for 1 second.
All right, we got about 7 minutes to go.
All right. Who, in your opinion, in all of wrestling, doesn't matter if it was back in the day or today, is the best talker on the mic?
Hmm. This is tough. Wow.
We had this
Yeah, we had a show like this too. You're right, Dominic. Man. Oh, man.
You said all-time ghost?
Of all time. Doesn't have to be your number one, but just who do you think was one of the best? I'll say it like that.
Man, this may seem like an easy answer, but or a safe answer, but I'm gonna have to say The Rock. You know, I was trying not to pick him, but I'm gonna have to say The Rock.
That's a very good choice.
Yeah.
He is one of the best. I will agree with that.
Yeah. Cool.
Now,
I'm going to say, we talked about her daughter earlier. I'm going to have to say Ric Flair.
I will agree. That's a good one, too. One of the best talkers, hands down, of any generation was the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Ooh.
He can say anything. I mean, just when he said, I see the little cigarettes for Elizabeth. That means he can say anything. And you're going to be captivated because the dude just talked. He didn't talk like he was talking to you. He talked as if he was talking at you.
Right.
I'm not going to lie, I'm partial. Macho Man is one of my favorites of all time, but That's just my opinion.
Hey, I'm with you. It's easy to, like, I feel like people forget, like, Macho Man and Hulk Hogan was neck and neck as far as, like, top dogs during that time. You know, they were, like, neck and neck because Macho Man was getting all those Slim Jim endorsements. He was just as polarizing as Hulk Hogan. So, yeah, Macho Man was a he was a beast. He was a beast.
Oh, yeah!
All right, so we got this final topic of the night because we only got about 4 minutes to go. It's a big matchup tomorrow for the NXT Women's Championship. You got Raquel Gonzalez versus the up-and-coming and coming fast Mandy Rose. Dominic, Josh, what is your predictions for that matchup and why?
Ooh. I'm going to put it in God's hands. If this isn't put in my hands, I'm going to go to jail. No.
Oh, Tommy. So you're going to be getting into some trouble, huh?
Hey, I ain't got no bail money now.
Oh, man. You're going to be stuck up in there, huh, Josh?
We'll see if Mandy will come and give you a conjugal.
Maybe you can get one of those conjugate visits, you know?
Yeah.
Man.
I have to say,
in my opinion,
I have to say, in my opinion, it is Mandy's time.
Wow. I agree.
And it's nothing against the champion, but how much has Mandy Rose been through? And she, to me, it finally seems like now that she's back in NXT, she is finally getting the push she deserves. And she makes the perfect heel. And let's face it, almost all the champions in WWE right now are heels except for the champions on Raw.
Right. Dominic? I'm sorry, Josh. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was like, yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
I told you, I'm going to put it in God's hands. I'm going to just be, oh, my God. I love me some Mandy Rose. Y'all know God's beautiful creation. But the Amazon of Raquel Gonzalez is just, oh, my God. Mommy Culo. I can't pick. I'm gonna just put it in God's hand. That's my final. That's my word.
Well, Dominic, I don't even want to say. I don't want to even ask you guys what's your final thoughts tonight because we may just have to put it in God's hands.
Yeah.
Because
there you go.
Yeah. All right. This was a great show. I don't know if we're going to try this again tomorrow night. I don't know if we want to do two shows in a row, but we'll talk about that off air. But yeah, another great show. Another strong show. Thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Dominic, for all that you guys do for this show. And we're going to look to do bigger and better things going forward. For myself, Martez, Dominic, Josh, and shout-out to K-Val. He's actually on vacation, so he won't be with us. I mean, he wasn't with us today, so we pray that he has a safe trip back from New York. Have a good night, everybody, and we'll see you later.